Y'all love the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California with Phil Henry, General Galen Shaw, Bud Dittman, Margaret Gray, and me, Robert Leonard. Now, here's Mr. Henry.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome to our podcast today. After the show today, by the way, you'll hear a special preview of the Michael Jordan documentary, The Final Dance, about the Jordan Chicago Bulls, right?
I think that's, yes, I believe that is the... Phil, you were listening to it.
Yeah, I was, Danny, you were listening to it.
I know, I was. I was listening actually to the promo. I'm looking forward to... well, we'll hear a special preview of that coming up after our show today. Welcome to our program, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Ward Habernack, right, General?
Yeah, Ward Habernack is a guy that... I think Don Berman... We have Don Berman on, too, but a couple of guys from Channel 19 News on the show today. Well, they're not from Channel 19. No, they're not... Well, Don Berman works in news. Don Habernack was behind the scenes.
Well, Don... Not Don Habernack.
Ward Berman. Ward Berman. Not Ward Berman.
Yeah, it's Ward Habernack and Don Bert.
Don Bertman.
Are you guys getting me pissed on for real? Because
on for real? Get a load of you, Phil. You couldn't threaten. There you are, selling newspapers and flowers with a ski cap on, and you think I'm threatened by that? I guess I am.
Yeah.
Selling flowers. Boy, nice going.
God, Margaret, making fun of the handicap.
I am not. It was a humorous image. If you picture Phil, you never mind. You guys, boy, I'll tell you, if I was dying of thirst in the middle of the desert, you'd bring me urine.
Oh, God.
God damn.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Oh, don't keep playing it up.
Well, anyway, we're going to have on Ward Habernack.
Ward Habernack and Don Berman later on. Ward Habernack used to work at Channel 19. As a behind-the-scenes guy. Ward is a native of Canada. And I thought it'd be interesting because I've gotten into watching a little bit of hockey here. I don't know if I've articulated as much on the program here as I have in the pre-show, but I've been really enjoying watching the National Hockey League Network. Yes, I know I said network.
Well, we don't know. If you say network, is it a massage show?
Yes, Danny, is it a massage show? You know.
No, it's not a massage show. It's the NHL
Network.
Network.
All right.
And I've been digging watching that because I don't know why. The two channels that I've enjoyed watching in the middle of all of this lockdown, shutdown, you know, buddy, I'm going to shut you down.
You were trying to think of the words of, Hey Little Cobra.
Yeah, I was. Do we have that, bud?
What do you want the words to lay? What do you want? Hey Little Cobra by who?
Do we have that song, Hey Little Cobra, by the...
By the what?
I think it's the Beach Bums or something, or the Beach Boys, right?
No, it's by the Ripcords.
Whatever, man.
I'll find it.
Hey, little cobra, don't you know you're gonna...
Jesus. Oh, shut up. There it is.
What is this, about the shutdown of the pandemic?
Yes, this is a song about the pandemic that happened in the 60s.
What?
Phil, wait a minute, wait. And they had to shut down everybody...
What are you talking about? You serious, Mr. Henry?
No, I'm not serious. But they're singing about shutting things down, so...
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's also...
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
That's about the pandemic.
No,
it's not, bud. It's about two jackballs racing their cars on the streets of California and killing people.
All right, wait a minute. So there's a song called Shutdown, bud.
That's not about the shutdown.
That's not about the lockdown or anything, or the shutdown.
The what?
It's not about any of that, bud. Phil's screwing around with your mind. He's messing with your mind again.
Yeah, stop it, Mr. Henry, to mess with the mind.
Jeez. So those are the only two shutdown songs I know.
Having nothing to do with disease. Well, in a manner of speaking, yes, they do. The disease of a young, stupid man going fast in a race car that his daddy gave him the money for, and he kills thousands. He kills children, women.
You got a real problem with that, don't you?
I don't like the idea of some young hood running his hot sports car all over the sidewalks and then parking it, and she's got an old woman.
He's got an old woman hanging out of the grill. Is that what you meant?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Then why are you smiling?
I'm not smiling, Phil. I'm grimacing for the thought of it.
All right, so there's two songs anyway, bud, about shutdowns and...
But not about a pandemic.
No, not about the pandemic. God.
All right, gotta do what Ward...
Ward Habernack gonna join us now from the newsroom at Channel 19 News. Sounds kind of busy there, Ward, is it?
No, Phil, it's not busy at all. It's as a matter of fact, it's... I'm not even in the newsroom here. I'm out at loading dock because we're putting some equipment into one of the news vans, you know.
It sounds busy, though.
Well, we've got a few people here, but, you know, it's a rather cavernous area, and there's people that are you know, they're here and working, but it's not as many people as it might sound like.
So, Ward, I wanted to talk to you about hockey in California in the 60s, because I come across some L.A. Blades articles in the newspaper, and I used to go see the old L.A. Blades with my father, and I've gotten very much, as I was telling the audience, probably they're just sick to death of hearing it, I've gotten very enamored of hockey during this period that, you know, we were all sitting on our asses watching television, and I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about hockey. When did you come to California?
Well, I feel I came to California in 1963, and very young man at the time, only 19 years of age, I got to working at the LA Times, a copy boy for a while, and then I got my job at Channel 19. Back that when they had the Bowman brothers were the owners of the station.
Let me ask you something, Ward. How come you still have your Canadian accent? You've been out here for so long.
Oh, I go back to Canada every summer, or every so often during the year, maybe 2-3 times a year I go back to Canada.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from a place called Laval.
Oh, that's in Quebec.
Yes. That's my hometown. I spent a good part of town now in Montreal because I've got a family there, but when I want to go back to visit, you know.
So tell me about hockey in California when you were there at Channel 19. You guys were televising some events, weren't you?
Well, the way it was there was no hockey in California to speak of, except for, as you said, Los Angeles had the L.A. Blades, and San Francisco had the Seals. But that came later, you know. It's about the time that I arrived. But they also had a bunch of Canadians who were fooling around on the weekends, you know, and playing. They had a couple of sticks, they had a puck, and they found some ice to skate on. So they had teams, and so I talked the station into televising some of these games.
What are you talking about? They were just fooling around.
Well, they weren't really serious, you know. They barely had uniforms, but they called themselves the Santa Barbara Penguins or something. We had the Bakersfield Colonels, and we had teams like this.
I remember the Bakersfield Colonels. I think I saw those games on TV a little bit.
Hold on for a minute. Don't nobody answer that.
Why are you telling people not to answer the phone?
Well, we don't want people to know we're working today. I realize I'm on the air with you, Phil, but this won't air until tomorrow, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so right now I don't want anybody knowing that we're...
What are you guys loading equipment?
Yeah, we're basically cleaning this place up. It's been long too long since we swept it out. And, yeah, you know, I just... Don't even worry about it. Don't bug me.
Okay, so we're talking here with Ward Habernack about hockey in California. You guys say you were watching some Canadians, you're fooling around. What does that mean, there were a bunch of Canadians fooling around?
Well, California has an expat community of Canadians in business and the arts and everything, as you might imagine. And they missed hockey, and so they were the ones that powered the early success of the spectators going to see the L.A. Blades, you know. But it was a hard sell, so I said, well, if we could get it on television...
Were the Blades televised in those days?
Very rarely. Very rarely. Maybe Channel 9, Channel 13, Channel 11. Channel 19, we didn't see any point in it. I told the Bowman brothers, I said, don't even bother, because no one knows what the game is. They don't quite know what to make of it and how it's scored. I said, it would be better if we just went ahead and we televised some of these pickup games that they had down in the ice rink at Culver City. And,
well, how difficult was it to explain hockey? They had hockey in the United States.
Yeah, they had hockey in the United States. You're talking about...
The National Hockey League was in four cities in the United States.
Well, yeah, no, that's right, General. But for West people out West, where there's nothing but deserts, and it's hard, it's hot, and no one was able to understand how ice... First of all, ice, the concept of ice... is not unknown, obviously, but it's a very foreign idea to be on it and skating around on it with a stick and a flat piece of plastic, you know. And
are you saying that Californians and people out West didn't understand hockey?
I would say that they were able to in time, but you would have to go very slow with them, Margaret, because again, like I was saying, you know, there's only... There's not a lot to go. You don't grow up on ice. You don't grow up on the... So I'd say skates. Yes, we understand skates. And
Now, why were you explaining it?
Well, that was kind of part of the goodwill ambassador job I did for the Bowmans at that time on Channel 19. We'd go out, we'd televise some of these games, and we'd have some people who would turn out for the games, and they'd say, oh, it came out because we saw you're going to have a hockey game. I said, well, those are skates. They said, we get that. And they're on the ice. And I said, and they go, and they say, what is that? And they said, a puck. I said, that's a puck. And that's where it ended. And
they didn't get that.
They didn't understand it. What's a puck made out of, anyway?
It's like made out of a hard rubber.
They knew what a puck was, though, right?
No, they didn't. They Midsummer Night's Dream. Puck, they thought, was a little fairy. And that didn't do us anything. Because the puck was in Midsummer Night's Dream, was a little fairy bopping around in his underwear or something. They didn't...
Well, it's a little bit more than that. But it was a character from Shakespeare.
Yeah, it was a character from... And they said, you mean that guy's in his underwear? And they kind of lost interest then. I said, no. This is a puck, and it's you kick, you cock.
But you got to watch what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
But you told them that you would hit the puck with the stick.
Yeah, and I would show them. I'd say, look at this. I'd say, come on, because before the game started, I could show them, this is a puck, watch. And I would hit it, and it would go down the ice. And they'd say, that it didn't really...
Didn't gun their engines?
Well, no. I said, finally, you're going to have to watch the game. Well, the problem was with the early California League hockey games with the San Bernardino, they just had teams. The guys barely had skates. They skated in their shorts. They had T-shirts and sweatpants. And
so this was not a real league?
Well, it was a real league to the extent that they've kept track of the games, but it was just a bunch of guys fooling around.
Yeah, you've already said they were fooling around, so did they have a trophy? Did they...
Well, General, I'm trying to explain it to you. If you just hold on for a minute.
But the General is asking, did they have an official trophy? Did they have advertiser support? Did you guys pay for the rights?
No, I didn't pay for the rights, no. They were grateful to be televised. But they'd skate around and they'd get into fights. Most of the time, the game would wind up, there was a brawl at mid-ice, guys piled on top of each other, and I'd say, and I just would tell people, just get out of here, we'd clear the place out.
I'm talking here with, I got to wait for that. I'm talking here with Ward Habernack. You clear the place out.
If they broke into a big fist fight, we'd say, just get out of here. Go on, get out. There's nothing you need to see. And I talked to a couple of the coaches of these teams. And
all right, no, hold on for a minute, Ward.
Well, I told him it wasn't.
Hold on for a minute. This is a league, but it's not so much of a league that they have good uniforms. You didn't say if they play for a trophy.
I think they did. They played for like the California Cup or something alliterative like that.
All right, and then they had games.
Yeah, they mostly had games. We televised them out of the right here, down here at the El Segundo hockey rink, or is the roller rink.
The El Segundo roller rink.
Yeah, that was it.
What was there, ice? Obviously there was.
Yeah, they had ice. They had an ice rink. They also had a roller derby. And we'd say, it's time for us to play hockey. Can you guys? The roller derby guys would have to clear out, and we'd have to get everything moved and pour the ice. It would take overnight to freeze it. So most of a lot of the games weren't until 7:30 in the morning.
We're talking with Ward Habernack here from Channel 19. He's an equipment, basically is a production assistant, has been involved in all aspects of the technical ends of production over there at Channel 19. He's telling us about the early days of televising hockey on Channel 19 when the Bowman brothers...
Well, it was Bowman Broadcasting.
Yeah, Bowman Broadcasting was the early owners of Channel 19. Now it's L. Ron Martin's group.
Yes, that's correct. But I don't work for L. Ron Martin. I worked briefly for L. Ron Martin, but now I'm working for the...
What was it like working for L. Ron Martin?
I mean, you know...
Don't worry. Don't answer that. Just don't answer. I don't want to get into that right now. Let's talk about...
It was okay. It was a guinea. And...
Oh, so hold on. Dump that, would you please? You got to watch that racial...
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're talking here with Ward Habernack. Okay, so let's get back to televising hockey. I'm not exactly sure. So nobody in California understood hockey.
That didn't seem that way to me. And then we televised the game. And then after the game, Jack Kaczynski, who was one of our sports announcers, would come and say, what you've just seen is a hockey game. Let me explain it. There's skates and there's a stick. And, you know, he was not very good at it. And I said to him, well, why don't you get out on the ice next week? And he said, that's a good idea. He got out there, and it was between periods. He'd say, I hope you're enjoying the game, folks. Jack Kaczynski here, and we're watching hockey here on Channel 19. Courtesy of the Bowman Broadcasting. And, you know, if you've got any questions, but this is a stick and a skate, and you hit the puck down the ice into the net. And it got very frustrating because no one understood. And
well, how do you know no one understood? Were they calling up and saying...
They were there. They were calling. They were saying, we don't get it. And I mean by the hundreds.
Well, even though you're televising the games?
Even though we're televising the games. So by the time the L.A. Blades got to town, I think one of the Bowman brothers, Stan Bowman, said to the L.A. Blade management, whoever they were, you guys are... You're in big, big trouble. You're, as the man said, you're pumping a dry well here. You'll never get a fan base because these people don't understand. And he said, are they idiots? He said, no, they're not idiots, but they just, they don't understand the skating and hitting a thing with a stick.
You know, that seems like, it doesn't seem that difficult to understand.
No, it does not seem difficult to understand.
People in California were just idiots, huh?
No, I wouldn't say that, but... So the next week he'd be back out there and say, okay, do you understand now? And we get the phone calls. We don't get it. It was only later that I found out that a prospective team in the Western Hockey League that played out of Provo, Utah, they had a lot of people calling. They jammed the lines after the demonstrations and that dirt between periods of the hockey game, you know, at this California League.
Yeah.
They would jam the lines and say, we don't get it. We don't understand. We don't get it. We don't understand. And it would discourage everybody else from calling in because the line would be busy.
And that was done on purpose. Why?
That was done on purpose to keep the L.A. fans stupid and to make people think there's no fan, and so they wouldn't have an L.A. team. Because the Provo management wanted to move to L.A. for the Western Hockey League.
Well, why didn't they?
Because they already had management there. They already had a team set up for there.
I never knew any of this, man.
Yeah, it's all true, Phil.
This is Los Angeles in the early 60s, ladies and gentlemen. The fans here didn't understand hockey, and there was behind-the-scenes nonsense where they were trying to get people even more confused. This is nuts.
Tell me about it. Tell me, but you ought to be me on a Saturday night in El Segundo at the roller rink, and people are saying, get out of here, you know. You've already explained it. We don't understand it. And I would kick them out, you know, the games.
You were kicking people out of those games because... They didn't understand the fights.
No, it was just a couple times the game ended in a fight, and I said, get out of here. I just told everybody in the ring, ladies and gentlemen, please get out. Just get out. Go on. Go, go, go. You don't understand. This is a fight. You're not going to... I think I might have used a couple of four-letter words I shouldn't have, but I said, you just don't give a you-know-what. And the people are booing, and they're throwing beer cups.
This sounds to me like it was not a successful...
Does not sound as like a successful effort on the part of Channel 19.
Well, first of all, why did they not insist on someone to explain it better than this man, Jack Azitsky, whoever he was?
Jack was our sports guy.
Well, obviously, he wasn't explaining it very well if people were pissed off and didn't get... What was he saying? Did you ever hear him?
What do you mean, did I ever hear him?
Did you ever hear him say, you know...
What?
What did he say, man?
He said, hi, Jack Azitsky here, and here's what hockey is. You see this? I mean, it got to the point where you'd hold the stick up and go, this is a stick. It hits this. It's called a puck. We skate down and we try to hit it into the net. And the lines would be jammed with people saying, what, huh? Cut it out. Stop. You know, you're not making no sense over and over and over again.
And you're figuring these were the people that were hired by the Provo franchise to what?
To discourage the L.A. team from even wanting to set up a team here. Because Provo wanted the action, you know.
You know something, but you know, I'll tell you this. Hockey has been very successful in Los Angeles.
Yes, it has. Very much so. But it was successful, I maintain, because of the efforts of guys like Jack Azitsky, who would say...
No, wait, hold on for a minute.
Wait, no, but sir, I swear to God, if I could, Phil.
Go on.
Jack Azitsky was the guy who said, this is a stick. I remember him standing there, and I would feel so bad for him. He'd say, this is a hockey stick. This is a net. This is the skate. Do you understand? And
well, okay, he's talking about Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday, 1964.
What did he say?
He said, and I hope you can bleep me out.
We will.
He said, this is a stick. This is a skate. That's the net. Do you understand? You half-breed half-wits. That's what he said.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No. And in a lot of ways, I feel it myself because it was so frustrating. Say, why can't... And he said... He muttered something about them being half-breeds and half-witted and mouth-breathers, nose-pickers. Jesus. And I said, it's all right, Jack. It's okay. And he'd sit down on a bench and weep. Weep like a grandmother that he couldn't figure. This is a stick. This is a skate. That's the net. This goes in the net. Do any of you mongrelized quarter-wit imbeciles understand anything I'm saying here?
That's...
I heard about this, yeah, because, you know, Frank was a big hockey fan.
That's right.
And Frank was out here. He was producing television, and he said, you wouldn't believe what this guy said. I said, well, you know, we're going to interview him. And he said, well, ask him about that. I said, we're interviewing Ward. He wasn't there, but he was at the TV station.
Yeah, I sure was.
So he did. He said, you people were mongrelized, half-breed.
Talking to the hockey fans of L.A.
Yes. And I don't find it funny, Phil. I think it's a moment. It's an opportunity lost.
Well, that's a good point, you know. That is a good point. Because broadcasting is communication.
Well, okay. That sounds very nice, Mr. Henry. And, you know, there you go. I'll just give you a little little kiss on the lips. Go see the priest. He'll punch your ticket for the one-way trip to heaven. Aren't you a good little boy?
Hey, pal. I'm just saying.
I understand. I'm sorry.
See, because if this guy Yasinski wasn't able to explain it to the point where he was frustrated and angry, he must have been a lousy broadcaster.
Jack Yasinski was one of the greatest hockey announcers this part of the world ever said. California never had it so good. Never had it so good with Jack.
Who did he work for?
What?
Who did he work for?
Phil, I didn't come on here to get yelled at.
Who was he? What games was he calling?
What do you mean, what games?
Was he play-by-play for anyone?
No. Oh, yeah, for the California Hockey League, yeah.
But not for any real league.
It was a real league, Phil. I know it's a bunch of Canadians.
I know, a bunch of Canadians fooling around with skates and sticks. You seem to indicate that they barely had uniforms.
They had uniforms, but you're right. No, it wasn't very good. But Jack wanted to start at the ground floor. He said, this will help these people understand hockey so that when it comes to California someday, we're going to have ourselves a hockey. And so it would take him weeks. He would say, here's a letter from Mrs. Carlisle, and she lives in Rosemead, California. Could you talk about that part where they put the skates on and they skate around? And he would try to be calm. He'd say, yes, thank you. You put the skates on, you put the stick in your hand, you try to hit the puck, and you to go into the net. And then he lost it a couple of times, saying, do you understand, you mongrelized quarter-wit whore? And he would lose it. He would say, and then he'd say, do you understand, you mongrel she-demon with a...
Oh boy, these people, they don't want to... It sounds to me like Yasinski was losing his mind.
Was he ever given a psychiatric evaluation?
No, ma'am, and I find that embarrassing, because Jack Yasinski, I tell you what, his career wound up very, very good indeed. He went on to do commentating for the Portland Zebras. When the Zebras came into the Western Hockey League, it was after the Buckaroos left, and Portland had a great team in minor league hockey for many, many years, and Willie O'Ree played in the Western Hockey League for a long time.
I know that, yeah, but I just never knew the California Hockey League was the beginning of such a frustrating period. Ward, I thank you very much. It sounds to me like you're super busy there.
No, it's actually just about a dozen guys working at both ends of the loading dock here, Phil, trying to get the equipment cleaned up and ready for the weekend.
What do you got coming up this weekend?
Nothing. It's just going to sit there, but you never know. Somebody might get a wild hair or something.
All right. Ward, thanks very much for giving us the history, the very, very fascinating, weird history of broadcasting hockey and the general relationship between that and the fans here in Southern California's 60s. Thank you.
All right, Phil.
Ward Habernack here on the Phil Henry Show.
Well, you know, that's a... so many of the people we bring on this show they seem to exhibit a basic misunderstanding of the human race.
Well, what do you mean by that, General? I mean,
Well, I'll tell you, Professor. Let's not be insulting. Well, but what do I mean by that? I mean that here's a guy that can't explain hockey. He can't understand anything, and he gets so frustrated. Then he turns around and he starts calling people names.
Well, that whole thing about you mongrelized...
Yeah, that sounds like a racist or something.
Maybe it's because he's from Canada.
No, that's not it, man, you know.
But what are you talking about, Mr. Ian? They only have white people there.
No, they do not only have white people in Canada. No, they don't.
So you don't think there's a...
I know that Canadians are a very fair-minded, open-minded people.
Well, let's not start going Pollyanna. Now, you know full well that in Canada, they've got rabid racists.
I know this. I know that I had a black friend in Miami who was born in Canada and never heard the N-word until they got to the United States. So, you know...
What?
I'm telling you the truth. I had a friend in Miami who was born, a black friend in Miami who was born in Canada and told me they never heard the N-word until they got to the United States.
What's the N-word?
Are you kidding, man?
Well,
you know what the N-word is.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Well, what did you think it was?
I thought it was like Niagara Falls. My mom and dad said they went to Niagara Falls. What's everybody getting mad for?
Hey, bud, get with it, man, and quit screwing around. We'll be right back. We've got coming up here Don Berman from Channel 19 News. And Don Berman's going to be here. Going to be reporting on social distancing. Don's been around Southern California, going to parks and things like that. And
Don's been doing some man-on-the-street interviews with people. And we'll find out what those sound like when we come back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Icky's Liquor Warehouse. Bottle after bottle, aisle after aisle. Man, it is a beautiful thing, and you've got to be here to see it. Hi, Icky Brown here for Icky's Liquor Warehouse. There isn't a alcohol or a spirit, a beer, a wine, nothing that's been made that hasn't at one time or another been here at Icky's Liquor Warehouse. We've got 7,000 square yards. I don't know if it's that big or not. I don't even know what 7,000 square yards is, but take a look behind me. Oh, this is radio? Never mind. Oh, it's a podcast. Never mind, double. So you can't see what I've got. All right. It's actually the size of a closet. Icky's Liquor Warehouse. Big, bad, 200 proof. Straight Applejack from Icky. Icky's Liquor Warehouse at 6114 East Plum Wine Boulevard in the town of only kidding. Pasadena. And bye.
Hi, this is Candy for AT&T. You know, it's tough using your phone these days. It's difficult getting online. Everything costs so much. Do you think we'd drop the price on anything we do at AT&T? Of course not. We're not dropping the price on shit.
AT&T, coming to the rescue during this pandemic. Are you having a hard time getting online and staying online? Take a look at this pricing structure. See if you can afford any of that. And if you can, we'll put you online. We'll keep you online. You'll never be offline. You'll always be talking to someone online and never have time for anyone else. You'll live in the virtual reality that is the interwebs. That's right. But you better be prepared to pay for it.
AT&T has a plan for you and your family so you can all spend right through the nose, stay online or offline. What do we care? So long as you pay up. And we send you that notice there in your email, and either you pay it, or within 48 hours, we cut it off.
It being your service. AT&T. It just makes sense to get rid of them.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray.
Phil Hendry here, and
we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard and General Galen Show. I didn't know if you wanted to...
We always introduce all the principals.
No, we do not.
Oh, this is the second
turn. We're already well in the... Never mind. Thank you very much, Margaret, for...
Yeah, but see, he made me look as if I was something that crawled out from underneath, you know, a refrigerator.
No, how did I do that?
Because I'm doing the announcement in the middle of it. You're telling me how to do it.
Generally, what we do, General, as you know, is we will introduce everybody at the beginning of the show.
All right, okay, I forgot about it. All right, well, does that mean you get to jump in and make me look like something that you use one finger in tissue paper to sort of wipe away?
What is that supposed to mean?
I think you know.
So let's get back to what we're doing here for a living, which is whatever the hell this is.
Yeah, whatever this is.
Uh-huh. Well, you want me to explain?
No, sir.
Going out to Lovely Park in downtown Los Angeles, Don Berman with Channel 19 News is out there right now. Where are you, Don?
Well, Phil, just exactly what you said. We're here at Lovely Park, and we are looking at people playing basketball. There's a few young men over here playing basketball. There's a couple, maybe two or three couples, actually, who are having a picnic, and none of them are wearing masks. And so what I decided to do is to go over and talk to them and ask them, why are you not social distancing? Hello, Don Berman, Channel 19 News. Can I speak to you for a minute? Oh, yes, sir. I notice you're here with the young lady. Are you guys having a picnic? And you're not wearing a mask, so why is that?
I mean, we don't think, you know, it's any of your business.
Okay, but let's say it is my business because I'm in the media. You don't care?
No.
Hi, I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News. How are you?
Who?
I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
And why aren't you socially distancing? I see you had your arm around that young lady and you're making out with her.
Who are you?
I'm Don Berman. I'm Channel 19 News.
Yeah, I want to kiss her, you know. You can't kiss with a mask on.
I know, but you know there's a pandemic. Right?
What?
Who are you again?
Hi, Don Berman. I'm Channel 9. How are you?
Great.
Are you gentlemen around here golfing? Why are you not socially distancing?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not kidding. Why are you...
Because there's only three of us.
Well, but you can still... The germs and everything.
What about the germs coming off of you?
I don't really have germs coming off of me.
I say you do. I say that I can smell you.
Okay, thank you very much.
I can smell you, though.
Thank you very much. Okay, cut it, Phil.
I can smell you. Smell like feet. So there you have it, Phil. I came out to the park. I went over to there's a golf area there. I was told that I smell like feet. And, you know, and why am I doing this report? I'm doing this report because L. Ron Martin felt it would be edifying and educational to talk about social distancing. You can tell people are not socially distancing, and it was a waste of my life and my time.
Well, I don't think so.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, why are you ignoring Phil?
Because Phil's not a newsman. Phil's an entertainer. He's not a newsman. He doesn't understand. I came out here. You heard what the people said.
I heard one couple say they were kissing. They wanted to kiss. Another guy told you that you smelled. Don, I think what Phil's trying to say is you got four honest answers, however many people. What did the other people say?
What do you mean? What other people?
There was a couple that you first talked to?
Yeah, they just didn't, they said they were fine and they can't, you know, enjoy themselves and they didn't know who I was. They kept asking, who are you, who are you, who are you? So, obviously people know who I am. I'm Don Berman, Channel 19 News, but I'm not going to put that on the air and have it just in a loop. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Well, who are you? That's what I should have said. Who are you to infect me with your, you know...
All right, but they weren't infecting you.
No, and I didn't stink like feet either. That one guy said I can smell you. That's the...
They were giving you a hard time because you interrupted their golf game.
Oh, whatever. I'm over there in the middle of Quinte, which is a three-par, okay?
Yeah, every hole's a three-par.
That's right. And these guys are playing it like it's the Masters. They're right over there. I'll walk over.
All right, well, Don...
Hold on. I'm going to walk over there now.
What are you doing, Don?
I'm going over to these guys that told me to get lost. Hey. Hey. Yeah, this guy again. You guys playing a three-par, huh?
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? This is the U.S. Open or something? I mean, are you that bad?
You were asking us about socially distancing.
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you get away? You should get away because you smell like someone's feet.
You know what you smell like? You smell like something that dropped into my... You know what? Never mind.
Dropped in the underwear. Yeah. You were going to say that.
Yeah, I was. Want to do something about it?
No. Why don't you leave us alone?
So there you go, Phil.
You went over there to hassle those guys for nothing.
What are you talking about, man? I just said to them, why aren't you socially distancing?
You're talking to them about something that dropped into your underwear? You got your feelings hurt because they didn't know who the hell you were.
Yes, they did. Those guys knew who the hell I was.
Well, but the point is, Don...
Go ahead, Phil. Tell me what the point is. Go on, Mr. Newsman, Mr. Pulitzer Prize winner.
Well, you never won a Pulitzer Prize.
No, but I almost won an Emmy. Okay?
God damn! Don't do that, Don. It blows our freaking ears out.
All right, but I almost won an Emmy.
Don, you didn't win an Emmy, though, and you didn't win a Pulitzer.
I've been in the news-gathering business longer than any of you people there. Give me that much respect.
All right, I give you that much respect. So you went out to find out why people weren't socially distancing. What did you find out?
I found out that people are selfish assholes. How about that?
You can't hang up, man. You know that.
I'm not trying to hang up. Okay, I put it on the dash of the car. Let's get the hell out of here, Rod. Can I get an ice cream cone? Go get your ice cream cone.
You know, Don, you're a riot.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Get an ice cream cone?
No, I don't want an ice cream cone. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dominic.
Don, are you going to be okay?
I'm fine. I'm done for the day. I talked to these assholes right here. They are. Look at it. Here they come.
Hey.
Now, what do you want?
Nothing. You're Don Berman, Channel 19 News. You shouldn't speak to people like that.
I'm talking to you monkeys about why you're not socially distancing.
There's only three of us, man. We're on a golf course.
Okay, but you're standing together.
We're 6 feet apart.
You know what? Let me pull out my dick and see if that's really 6 feet, if it's not.
You get him back on the phone.
You just hung up on him.
Get him back on the phone.
Yeah, Mr. Burton, did we cut you off? I know, but we had to cut you off. We had to cut it off.
Hey, Don.
All right, I'm sorry I said what I said. I'm very, very sorry.
I had to dump out of that, okay?
I understand, and I'm very sorry.
And what did those guys do?
They turned and walked away, said I was a classless drug addict and assaulter of women. And I said, you know, this is why I hate the audience in Los Angeles. You think you all know about me. You don't know Don Berman at all. And while I'm talking, the doors close and they're driving away. I'm like, I had my eyes closed because I was feeling so impassioned by what I was saying. And I was saying, you don't understand Don Berman. My eyes were closed. I was thinking about the words I was saying. And I suddenly hear, and I opened my eyes. They're about three blocks away. They just left. You talk about rude.
Well, why would they want to sit and listen to you, Don, feeling sorry for yourself?
I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm trying to tell them. Oh, man.
You're trying to tell them the dangers of not socially distancing, and they didn't want to hear about it. Why didn't you leave it there?
Yeah. You know, when you say leave it there, Margaret, it sounds like you're pointing right to the center, right the middle of a toilet bowl.
Okay.
Yeah?
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 Well, what is this all of a sudden? A meeting of the Mickey Mouse Club?
All right, Don, I won't bother you.
Okay, you're not bothering me, but do you understand? I did the report as best as I can. I want to go home. I want to pour a good stiff drink. I want two fingers of Cuddy over ice. And I'll be honest with you. I want Cheryl right here, and I'm not going to tell you what I'm pointing to.
And I don't want to know either.
But I'm pointing to my nose.
He's a real classless act.
Yeah, well, he thinks he's funny.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he did say point to his nose.
Why did you say that?
What are you doing, bud?
We'll dump it out in the sink.
Good. But, you know, sometimes guys can be crude and crass and slobs, and they think they're being cute. And, yeah, to guys that have the mental capacity of a six-year-old, it's real funny. But Don Berman does that. It's a defense mechanism, and I want it to end. What are you applauding, man? I was yelling at you.
I know, but that was very good. Thank you.
Anyway, let me... The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, we thank you so much. Coming up tonight, and we haven't even plugged the BSP chat.
Oh, God, I forgot. The BSP chat tonight... At 7 o'clock, I'm so sorry.
Yes, the BSP chat tonight at 7, and this weekend, General...
Yeah, this weekend, I eat your flesh, or I eat your skin, one of these, Saturday Cinema with myself and Dean Wheeler.
Dean Wheeler and General Shaw with I Eat Your Flesh, or I Eat Your Skin, or something.
Right, and it's a cannibal film, and let me tell you something, it's got some really grotesque scenes, so, you know, parental supervision, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Advised.
Right.
It is our BSP Saturday Cinema. Tonight at 7, the BSP chat. And I don't know who we're due to interview somebody. Who is I going to call? Oh, I'm calling.
Well, you'll figure it out, Phil. Phil is such an idiot. He doesn't.
Thank you very much, Margaret. But
you were supposed to call.
I don't know who we're going to call. We'll call somebody.
We'll call somebody. Isn't that great?
Real organized.
Right here on the world famous and shouldn't be Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, All Rights Reserved, Podcast 1.
All right.
All right, see you tonight at 7 o'clock for the BSP. Oh, and by the way, we will be announcing tonight the
quarterfinal fight.
The quarterfinal between myself and Pastor William Rennick.
I guess we just announced it now.
But we'll do more of it, you know.
I don't want to be us.